Young in prayer, Amy's son, Dan and Amy Thornberry, Dave Thornberry's nephew. Wednesday goes in, and they're going to determine what exactly when his date's going to be, but the open heart surgery is not going to happen that day, right? It's going to happen at a later date, but we're going to find out when. So, but through the screenings that the school has done via, because of the tragedy with Jake West, there's a, they're actually able to save a life maybe through this. So it's an awesome thing in that regard. So, but pray for Bobby. He's certainly got a long road ahead of him. So, and just a kid. Which brings us to our topic today, which is encourage. And certainly, unless I'm in the wrong room, we could all use encouragement. We live in a world that is pretty discouraging at times. We live in a world that the financial news isn't always good. What's going on in our neighborhoods, the drugs, the different things, it's really discouraging. We live in a world where people are discouraged. They're frustrated, and they've a lot of them have given up. And so we need to realize our obligation, all this, as Christians, to lift them up, but also to lift each other up, because it's easy for us to go in that tank as well, because difficulties happen to us. Being a Christian doesn't insulate you from all the difficult and terrible and stressful things that happen in life. And so we need to settle that right up front. If that's something that you think happens to you, if you'll just follow the Lord, that everything's going to be good, that's not going to be the case. You'll certainly have an anchor. You'll certainly have a place to stand and something to hold on to and a faith that'll get you through it. But the storms are still going to come. But you'll have your faith, you'll have the Lord, and you'll have people to be with you. I don't know where my clicker's at. You got my clicker up there, Charlie? Come on, Charlie. So as we look at encouragement, or the word encourage, I think it's important we define it. First of all, encouragement is the act of giving hope or support that inspires. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. You know, it's wintertime. Encouragement. It's the act of giving hope. Who doesn't want to be given hope? The act of inspiring confidence in someone that will allow them to keep going on. Wow, that's I'd like to do that for someone. I know many have done that for me. Here's my aim today. Here's my hope. It's to inspire you and I as individuals and as a body to be people who encourage, people who make it part of our DNA, part of who we are, to be encouraging people, because there's enough discouraging people and enough discouraging things out there that we don't need to add to that. We need to lift one another up and help one another through the difficulties that this life brings. And I want you to understand the great power and the great gift that is encouragement. And I want you to know that everybody needs encouragement. No one is immune from it. No one is insulated in the sense that they don't have to be encouraged. Or I've shared this story before, but I like this story, so I'll share it again, and I can because I'm up here and my mic's on. But a mother watched her son begin to tire of his energy as the week went on, and by the end of the week he lost his desire to get out of bed. She heard the alarm go off through his bedroom door, and apparently he just kept hitting the snooze button. Does that sound like you? I do that all the time. Actually, it's on Kelly's side, so I make her hit it, and I just lay over there. Apparently, okay, he just didn't want to get up. So finally, after three or four extra rings, she walked in and said, "Son, it's time to get up." He peeked out from underneath the covers. "Can you give me a good reason to get up?" Have your kid ever done that? Your spouse ever done that? She said, "Yeah, first, it's Sunday and it's time for church. Second, you're 43 years old and you know better. Third, you're the pastor and they expect you to be there." And I share that because sometimes we think that pastors don't need encouragement, right? They just have it all together all the time. We're just always on cloud nine and everything's perfect. And that's not reality. We have a hard time getting out of bed too. So do teachers, so do parents, so do students, so do kids. So it doesn't matter who it is, so does a stranger. So it doesn't matter who you're encountering. Recognize the power that you have within you to encourage and change someone's life and do it. Everyone needs it. There's not one person who doesn't need it. Encouragement has incredible power. It has the power to strengthen and spur others on. Encouragement has the power to motivate and regenerate. Encouragement has the capacity to empower, to enrich, to energize, to edify, to elevate. I could go on and on. Encouragement has the ability to cause others to exceed beyond what they would have exceeded because you encouraged them. And in looking at the different stories that we could share about that, there are so many of them. And maybe we'll share a few as we go on. But here's our key verse for today. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica because the church needed a little push, needed a little encouragement, just like you and I need. And so he said he's reminding them, he's telling them to do this. Clearly, it wasn't something that they just got because that's why he had to write to them to do it. And it's something that I think we know, but we don't always do. And so we need to be pushed a little bit too, reminded, hey, do this, encourage one another, and build one another up. Why? Because it's tough out there. They were going through a difficult time as a church, as individuals, in this world they lived in, and so do we. I mean, we're just like they were. And so we're commanded here to do this. This is our calling, not just to forgive one another, serve one another, love one another, pray for one another. We are to encourage one another. God's word commands us to do so. Ephesians 4:29 says it this way, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Pause and think about the interactions and the conversations that you've had, perhaps this morning, perhaps last night, perhaps this week. And have they been uplifting? Have they been encouraging? Have they been wholesome? Have they been beneficial? Or perhaps have you been a discourager? Encouragement a regular part of our conversation and our action? I know it hasn't always been for me, and it isn't always for me. I'm not a great encourager sometimes for my kids, for my wife, for the people I work with. I can be discouraging at times, and that I want to work on because they don't need that. And honestly, it feeds off one another. If you will be an encouraging person, you will find that the people around you will be more encouraged, and they'll become an encouraging person. And the atmosphere and the culture, whether that be at work or at home or in church, will be a better place. And so there's a trickle-down effect, all this, if we'll take a look at it. There was a guy who was vacationing in the Bahamas, and he noticed this, all these people gathered at the end of the pier, and there was this guy in this tiny boat, and he was looking to set off, and he was going to go travel around the world in this homemade boat. And all these people are on this pier, and they're all telling him all the things, the reason why he shouldn't do it, all that's going to go wrong, and all the naysayers, and you're going to have this problem and that problem, whatever. And he just felt so compelled that the guy pushed off to take off under the water, to take his trip around the world, and go for it. They started jumping up and down, and he said, "Go for it. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. You can do it." And that story, that picture, is a picture that, aren't you glad there's some people that cheer for us like that? Even Michael Jordan, who had all these fans, millions of them, billions, I don't even know how many fans Michael Jordan had. When they asked him why he likes his father to be in the stands, he said, "Because at least I know there's one person cheering for me." We all need that. It's how we're wired. And yet so many of us dump cold water on. We discourage someone's ideals, someone's vision. Tell you what, I'm glad that some people didn't allow their failures and their pipe dreams to be discouraged. You think about the people like Luther who refused to back down, or Michelangelo who kept on painting, or Lindbergh who kept on flying, or Corrie ten Boom's father who said yes to frighten Jews, or Edison that kept on trying and inventing. I mean, there's a lot of people through time that didn't give up. But you know what? There's a lot of people that have, because they weren't encouraged and they became discouraged. And so I want to be a part of the process to fix that. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider," this is what we ought to be thinking about today, not what's wrong with that person and what's wrong with that family and what's wrong with, "let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together." We talked about that one. This gathering is critically important to our strength and our stability, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And as the world gets worse and worse, we need more and more encouragement from each other, because we can become more and more tempted to strive. astray, tempted to get frustrated, tempted to give up. You know, people seldom think of encouragement as a gift because it's so ordinary. But I actually think it's one of the greatest gifts that there is. I actually think it's quite rare because it's seldom given, if you really think about it. They say that the average person growing up in a home is told no or told what they can't do 148,000 times by the time they're 18 years old. Did you know that? And that's just an average thing. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go home and tell your kids no, because I tell my kids no every day. But I'm just saying, we just need to realize that sometimes that's all we do, and there's never any balance with encouragement. So we got to make sure that we do that. And I think encouragement is seldom given. But here's the deal with encouragement. It's incredibly valuable because it's so meaningful to the recipient. It's so meaningful to the person who gets it. In my humble opinion, it's one of the greatest gifts that one can give. Prayer is one of the greatest things that we can do for one another, because that invokes God's power into their lives, asking God to get involved. But encouragement is our action. Encouragement is something we have to put something out to do. And so it's one of the greatest things that we can do for one another, is to encourage. Here's why. I got some reasons why I think it's one of the greatest gifts, and of course they're from the angle of a guy, because I had to have a little fun with it. But the first reason, encouragement is a great gift because it's free. Encouraging someone requires no cash out of pocket. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to cost you. So it might cost you some time, some creativity, that sort of a thing. But you don't have to lay down money to encourage somebody. It's a great gift because it doesn't cost any money. But that's what makes encouragement so appreciated, because it's personal. Because it takes something from you and not something from your wallet. It's free. The next thing that makes it such a great gift is it requires no shopping. That's a great, great gift. You don't have to make a trip to the mall or whatever. Encouragement can be given from the home, from the office, from the church sanctuary, from the gymnasium. It can be given in the gym that you work out at. It can be anywhere. You don't have to go to the mall. You don't have to go to Kohl's. And you don't have to go through all that pain. You could be anywhere. That makes it a good gift, because you don't have to go shopping. The third thing, it doesn't have to be gift wrapped. That's a really good thing. I know that attractive wrapping paper makes the gift look really good. We all do that at Christmas, with fancy wrapping paper and a fancy bow and a fancy whatever, make it look like they don't know what it is inside there. You don't have to do that with encouragement. You know why? Because encouragement doesn't need any wrapping paper, because encouragement is absolutely beautiful just the way it comes. And that's a pretty good gift. You don't got to add to it. It can be custom designed. You know, one of the worst part about giving someone a gift is knowing their size. You know, if you're going to give your a girlfriend a ring, you know, it blows the whole thing, so you got to figure out her size. You're going to buy your wife a dress or a pants, good luck. I wouldn't recommend that. The good thing about encouragement is you can custom design it, because I know what you're going through, you know what I'm going through, and all around you, and you can make your encouragement very custom to that person. What will help them in their situation? And you know what? The size is going to fit. That's really cool. Fifth thing is this. It doesn't require batteries. Almost everything we buy, if you have kids, requires batteries. It's a real pain in the rear end. Not so with encouragement. The beauty of the gift of encouragement is it has an energy all on its own. And if you don't believe me, just try it. Just go and encourage someone and see the energy and the motivation that's spurred on because you said a kind word or did a kind deed. It doesn't require anything else. Another thing, it'll last a lifetime. All these other gifts, you know, that we give, that we try to, you know, I'll get you the PS1, well, next year it's a PS2, and then the PS3, and whatever, and it keeps on going. And it's not a gift that lasts, but the gift of encouragement lasts a lifetime. I'm telling you what, pour into a young person encouragement. See what happens over the long haul. It's not like that with clothes that come in and go out, and there's shoe styles and, you know, different fads. But with encouragement, it always, always lasts a lifetime. What better gift than there's that? And lastly, this. It doesn't matter if they already have it. That's one of the other things. Well, I got her a toaster, but she already had a toaster. I got her this, but she already had it. You don't have to worry about that, because even if they've already got encouragement, they can never have enough encouragement. You don't have to worry about it if they've already got it. No one has ever been encouraged too much. So we don't have to be stingy with it. We don't have to be greedy with it. We can just give this gift freely and willingly and impact people as often as well. That's what makes encouragement such an incredible gift. Solomon writes this in Proverbs 15:23. He says, "How delightful is a timely word." Let me ask you this. Is there someone you know who needs encouragement, who needs this gift? Maybe someone in jail, someone in prison who's paying their dues to society for what they did. We can't give up on those people just because they're locked up. They've made a mistake. They still matter. Maybe it's a widow that you know. Maybe it's someone that's going through a hard time. Maybe it's someone that's a divorcee that's trying to put their life back together. Maybe it's someone who's in financial difficulties and worried about their family. Maybe it's somebody who's grieving the loss of a loved one. I mean, you could go on and on and on. Who do you know that needs encouragement? Because I can assure you they're there. William Barclay, a popular Scottish theologian, says this: one of the highest human duties is the duty of encouragement. He says it's easy to laugh at men's ideals and to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It's easy to discourage others. The world is full of such discouragers, but we have a duty and a divine calling to encourage one another. He says many a time a pat on the back, which he identifies as the pat being praise, appreciation, or thanks, has kept a person on their feet or kept them going. And I agree. Many a times has a kind word, an encouraging word, done that. And here's the interesting part. We're rarely in a situation where there's not someone who needs to be encouraged. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing. There's probably someone around you, if you're attentive to it, who needs to be encouraged. Now, whether you'll be open to that, whether you'd be willing to do that, is a whole other thing. But we're always in situations where people need that encouragement. So I hope that you will look for those situations and you will fulfill them. William James, an American psychologist and philosopher, said the deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated. He says it this way: most of us think wonderful things about people, but we never tell them. But praise becomes valuable only if you impart it or convey it. See, it's not good enough that I think encouraging thoughts for you. You need to hear encouragement. And I need to hear encouragement. We usually have this thing where we like to catch people doing something bad and then calling them out. But I've heard of different programs at different workplaces and different schools where they look for ways to catch someone doing something good. I think that's a wonderful thing. Catch someone doing something good and commend them and encourage them. It's all too easy to point out where someone messed up or screwed up. Instead, be different from that and be an encourager. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been so discouraged you just didn't know if you were going to go on? The recipe to that is sow a seed and go encourage someone else. When you're discouraged, go encourage someone else, because the Bible tells us it's like a boomerang effect. In Proverbs 11:25, it says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Or he who encourages others will himself be encouraged, or however you want to word that. But that's the reality of the Bible. Given, it will come back to you. The Bible is full of stuff like that. Now, I want to share a few quick examples, and I'm going to breeze through them. They're not on your insert, but I want to share with you some of the encouragement from the Bible, so you see this isn't just Jeff talking about this, and it's just his deal, and that it really is a powerful thing. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 13, verse 15. The Apostle Paul makes an appeal to the people and says, "Brothers and sisters, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Moses said this to the people in Deuteronomy 31:6. They were struggling, and this is what Moses said to them. He said, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." That's pretty encouraging. We could probably use that with most people that need encouragement in our lives. Hezekiah encouraged in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 22 says, "And Hezekiah gave encouragement to all the Levites." Josiah encouraged in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 2. Josiah appointed the priests to their duties and encouraged them in service to the Lord's temple. The men of Israel encouraged in Judges 20, verse 22. But the men of Israel encouraged one another. The Apostle Paul encouraged in Acts chapter 20, verse 2. He traveled through that area speaking many words of encouragement to the people. Acts chapter 16, verse 40 says that after Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. All through the Word of God, Why? Because it was a really big deal. One guy became so legendary in his encouragement that they gave him a nickname or changed his name to the son of encouragement, which was Barnabas. Wouldn't that be cool that some of you were such an encourager that they just wanted to call you that now? We're just going to give you this name because you encourage everybody. That'd be pretty cool. Let me share with you our ultimate example of encouragement in Romans. If you look at Romans chapter 15, you're going to look at verse 5. It says this: May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. He's cheering for you and I. He's encouraging you and I. If God wants to encourage us, I think that we ought to encourage one another. Look what it says about his word, because did you know that this word, some think it's written to tell us what we can't do? This word was written to tell us encouragement. This is the love story that he has for you and for me. Listen to what it says in Romans 15, verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So God himself wants to encourage you and I. He wrote his word to give you and I encouragement. Example after example through the Bible of people who encouraged one another. So then it comes to us. Are we going to live this out? Are we going to make this part of our DNA to be people who encourage? I got some quick practical ways that we can make this happen. The first one is this. In our speaking, you and I have the opportunity, the power of the tongue, if you will. We have the opportunity to say a pleasant word, an uplifting word, an encouraging word, or we have the power to cut down, to slander, to lie, to gossip, to do something that's not so encouraging. So it's a simple and practical way, but as you go through your day, think about how you might use the gift that you have, the power that you have of the tongue, in an encouraging way to someone else. I'm telling you, a kind word goes a long ways. The second one is this, in our writing. Have you ever stopped to notice that most of the books of the New Testament are written to churches, and really what they are is encouragement notes? They're encouragement letters. That's what they are. It's kind of like me sending you a little email that says, hey, I'm praying for you. Stay strong. And that's really all it takes. Can you imagine how far it would go, a little note that says, I love you, I'm praying for you, I'm here for you, for someone who's struggling, who's alone, who's in the midst of adversity and difficulty. Just a little note. We don't got to write another book of the Bible. All we got to do is write a little something that would perhaps change their life, certainly change their day. So in our writing, we can do that. In our presence, we can encourage. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And I absolutely believe that. But you know what? The Lord often sends us in person to be that vessel for him. Did you know that? And your presence next to someone can make all the difference in the world, to encourage them. Social scientists observed that only 1/4 of communication is verbal. Even when we don't know what to say, because I know that's an excuse you'll make. Oh, I didn't know what to say to him. Your presence can mean everything. You want to encourage someone? Be there for them. Who cares if you know what to say? So you can use it through your speaking. You can use it through your writing. You can use it through just being there. Touch is another thing. God knew this all through the scriptures. Jesus knew this. I mean, he not only touched people, but allowed people to touch him all the time because he understood the power of touch. So many people don't get, that's why I'm a hugger at the door, because so many people don't get hugged and don't get that, and it means so much. It's been proven in study. Scientists have now documented the positive effects of touch. A touch on the arm, a pat on the back, a hug, a handshake, whatever it might be. It encourages someone when you realize, see, because Christ did it even with those who were untouchable. Remember? He would touch those lepers and people who were dirty, people who were, you know, he wouldn't smoke, but he did it anyway. Why? Because that would go a long way with them. And when you and I will do that to perhaps some that maybe aren't lovely in our eyes, it'll go a long way with them. Wow, I'm worthy of a hug from them. Wow, I'm worthy of a handshake or a pat on the back or an encouraging word or an encouraging note. Just some easy, practical ways. Don't want to overcomplicate it so people say, well, I didn't know how to get involved. Helping's another thing that we can do. Helping means just simple things like doing an odd job, babysitting for a new mom. There's all kinds of things that we can do to help to show encouragement. You know, encouraging is to a person that just had a baby to offer, can I help with babysitting? Can I do this? Can I do that? You know, encouraging it is to someone who can't get to the doctor because they can't drive anymore, perhaps they're a little older, and say, hey, can I give you a ride to your doctor's appointment this week? You know how encouraging that is? They already feel like an outcast. They already feel like, you know, they're out of the loop. And, you know, how encouraging is that for you to make that call and say, hey, can I get you to the doctor this week? You hear about somebody moving, show up with a pickup truck. Simple stuff. Just be helpful. That's encouraging stuff. Giving, and I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about, you know, we have food that we could give somebody. We have clothing that we could help give somebody. We have our time that we can help give somebody. We have perhaps instruments like, you know, hey, neighbor needs to use my mower or whatever. That's encouraging. There's things that we have that we can give that we can be an encouragement to someone else. Hospitality. This word here is best defined by its Greek word, which literally means brotherly love of strangers. Of strangers. We encounter strangers every day. You and I encounter people that we don't know at Walmart or Al's or wherever it might be, wherever you go. How do we treat them? How hospitable are we to them? Do we treat them with brotherly love? Or do we just kind of walk past and look down on them? How do we do that? The other hospitality is it's not just to strangers. Sometimes people feel emotionally estranged because perhaps they're in the midst of a divorce, and that can really make you feel like an outcast. Perhaps you've got physical disabilities or struggles, and that can make you. Sometimes people are emotionally estranged. They're emotional strangers, and those people we need to go out of our way to be hospitable towards. That's what God's Word tells us to do. Be hospitable. And number 8, praying. Of course, we can pray for one another. That's encouraging. When you tell me you're going to pray for me, when you tell me you did pray for me, that encourages me. It absolutely encourages me. All of these things are ways in which we can get involved and encourage people. And then you ask the why, because you got to know, you know, why it's a good gift and how we can do it. But you got to, okay, but why should I do it? And there's lots of reasons why we should do it. None of these are rocket science reasons. These are kind of basic. I could have stopped at number 1 because that's probably good enough for us. But I know we struggle with number 1, so we're going to go to a few more. Just to convince you, but certainly God told us to do it, so that's a pretty good reason. Jesus did it for us, and that's another pretty good reason to be encouragers as well, because, you know, we're supposed to be modeling after following him. It's powerful, incredibly powerful. I don't think we understand the power of encouragement. Maybe some of you do if you've ever really been down and someone said a kind word and it really brought you up and you're in a whole other spot now. Maybe you get it, but I don't know that we fully grasp what it means. The power of encouraging someone. It changes me and it changes you, and that's a really good thing because you and I need to get better. And that's what it does when we become encouragers. It makes me and you better by doing it. And 6, we all need it. And at the end of the day, that's other than God told us to, we all need it. It doesn't matter who you are, every single one of us needs encouragement. Encouragement is powerful. It's completely free of charge, but it's priceless to those who receive it. Just ask someone who's received it. Ask them what it was worth. I'm asking you to decide today to make this part of your DNA. Make this part of your makeup. Make this part of your values. Make this part of your day-to-day life. This is who I am. I am an encouraging person, not a discouraging person. I'm going to try to lift somebody up today. I want you to look for people this week, every day, whether it's in church, at home, whether it's at work or in the store, a complete stranger, a kid, a parent, a grandparent, a brother. It doesn't matter. Find people and find ways this week to be a difference maker in the life of someone by using the power of encouragement that is within you. It is a gift that every single one of us can give, but it's a gift that will change everyone's life. Thankful that our God was an encourager. Let's pray. Father God, the greatest encourager ever, thank you for never giving up on us. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for sending your Son who came and showed us how to encourage others, who modeled his life, touching lepers and and bleeding people and people he wasn't supposed to have contact with, and he did it anyway because encouraging mattered to him. And encouraging ought to matter to us. We live in a world that is full of discouraging situations and discouraging people and discouraging financial numbers. And Father, we need encouragement. So Father, first and foremost, we seek you for that encouragement. You are our great hope. But Father, we know that sometimes you want to use us as your instruments in this world to provide that encouragement and that hope to someone else. And I pray that we would be vessels, that we would be instruments that would allow you to use us to encourage someone else. Your word commands us to encourage one another. I don't think we do it enough. I don't think we realize the power of it. And I pray, Lord, today we would make that part of our lifestyle, part of our DNA, that we would become encouragers, not for our glory, but for your glory and the advancement of your